The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon and welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community. Your host is Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community. This hour is designed to inspire, inform, and to help you live better with cancer. Now, here's your host, Kim Tibaldo.
Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer, an internet radio show that focuses on informing and inspiring people to live well with cancer. I am your guest host today. My name is Linda House, and I'm the president of the Cancer Support Community, and I am filling in today for our CEO, Kim Tibaldo. The Wellness Community and Gilda's Club have united to become the Cancer Support Community, one of the largest providers of cancer support in the United States and around the world. Our services are offered at 170 locations worldwide and online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. Today, we are so pleased to be joined by Brandon Leonard, who is the Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Men's Health Network. And it's particularly timely because June is Men's Health Month. And during this time, it is really an opportunity for us to raise awareness of health problems and encourage early detection and treatment of disease for men and boys. In America, men's health issues are often overlooked or ignored. Men are statistically far less likely to go to a doctor than women. They feel less comfortable reporting health problems and are more likely to face social stigma for reaching out for emotional support. Making sure to understand the proper screening and treatment processes for certain cancers, such as prostate and colorectal cancer, is essential for men and anyone with a male loved one. So today we'll be talking about these very important topics and more. And as I mentioned, joining us today is Brandon Leonard, who is the Director of Strategic Initiatives of the Men's Health Network, a Washington, D.C.-based national nonprofit organization whose mission is to reach men and their families where they work, where they play, where they live, where they pray, with health awareness messages and tools, screening programs, educational materials, advocacy opportunities, and patient navigation. They really work hard to make sure that men have full access to the care that they need. Brandon's current priorities at Men's Health Network include promoting patient access to appropriate care, educating policymakers on key men's health issues, and encouraging men of all ages to think proactively about their health. Brandon is a member of the American Public Health Association and currently serves as secretary and co-policy coordinator of the Men's Health Caucus within the American Public Health Association. He also represents the Men's Health Network on the board of the National Council on Patient Information and Education. Prior to joining the Men's Health Network, Brandon was an international programs officer with the Foundation for Sustainable Development. That organization is an international nonprofit supporting grassroots organizations in Latin America, India, and East Africa. And I know, Brandon, that you previously served as a policy and planning specialist on disability issues in the Office of the Governor of Virginia. We also know that you have presented at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Conference on Workplace Wellness, Oklahoma Men's Health Summit, Urology Joint Advocacy Conference, and Rotary International Clubs, as well as many, many workplace and community health events, and that you've also contributed to and edited educational materials on topics ranging from mental health to cardiovascular health and everything in between. So, Brandon, we are so thrilled to have you, bringing with you all of this incredible expertise and really great work in reaching men to ensure that they have what they need for healthy living. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Linda. I'm so happy to be on the program.
So let's get started by having you tell us a little bit about the Men's Health Network.
Well, Men's Health Network was started back in 1992, and it was started, you mentioned that our mission is to reach men, boys, and their families where they live, work, play, and pray, and that's really what we've been focusing on since that time. The reason the organization was started was because our current director, who is one of the founders, and his colleagues recognized that there was really a crisis happening in the U.S. And I think you could also say the world regarding men's health, but a silent crisis of sorts. And that's because men's health wasn't really getting a whole lot of attention, but at the same time, men were in the U.S. Dying, you know, more than 5 years earlier than women on average. We're also dying at higher rates from 9 out of the top 10 causes of death, which continues to be the case today. And really, I think perhaps most disturbing was that how many of those deaths were preventable. When we talk about things like heart disease, many types of cancer, diabetes, suicide, really a lot of things that we feel like we could make a huge difference in the lives of men who are suffering or may suffer from these conditions, and really just needed to, first of all, work on education, public education, and second, to make sure that when we're talking to policymakers, when we're talking about leaders in public health and in the nation, that men's health is not being forgotten, that it's something that's actually on the table that is just as integral to family health and community health as the other aspects that we've talked perhaps more about, including women's health, maternal and child health. So we continue to do that work today to try to reach men where they are. We do a lot of programming in the community and in workplaces, in partnership with faith-based organizations, in partnership with community organizations, and also with sports teams. So we're really trying to reach men where they are. Another important aspect of that is trying to reach men through newer forms of communication, because we know a lot of men like to get their information online, as well as through social media channels. So those are some things that we've really been building on, especially in the last decade, to find as many ways as we can possibly get the message out to men about educating themselves on important health issues and then taking positive steps to improve their own health.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to come back in later segments because I want you to dig a little deeper into some of the work that you're doing today. But first, I would love to know, you have a terrific background and a lot of knowledge working in the community. So how did you get involved with the Men's Health Network, and why is it important to you?
I first found out about Men's Health Network back in 2007-2008. I was a graduate student at George Washington University studying international development, and I felt like, for me, health was the most basic and most important aspect of really overall quality of life that we could discuss and we could work on. If you don't have good health, then it's difficult to go to work and make a living. It's difficult to go to school and get an education, or impossible. And just looking at what are the most basic building blocks to being, you know, happy and productive, I decided to pursue a concentration in my program in global health. This also was at a time when I had just recently lost my father, who was really my hero, to a rare type of cancer, to bile duct cancer. And it was life-changing for me. It was very sudden and unexpected, with really no warning. And it was a tremendous loss for me and for my family. And I think it made even solidified for me how important it was to really focus on health and what we can do to be out front of health concerns as much as possible. And not everything is preventable. I'm not sure what we could have done or what we could have known to help my dad. But I do know that for, thousands of dads and brothers and sons, there is something that we can do, and I found out about Men's Health Network during that time, a difficult time in my life, and saw it as an opportunity to learn more about public health, because it was a space that I wanted to be more involved in, but also to see what I could do to try to make a difference in helping people understand their own health and prevention, especially, so that I could have a positive impact on other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So
to that end, could you just talk to us a little bit about some of the programs and services that the Men's Health Network provides and offers?
Sure, I'd be happy to. One of the things that we do is to do direct outreach in the community, and I mentioned that we do work a lot with workplaces, and you know, one of the common things that we hear when we talk about men not going to the doctor as much, not seeking health care as much as women, or as much as may be beneficial to them, is that they just don't have time. They have too many obligations, and certainly women have these obligations as well. But you combine that with the fact that maybe men feel they don't want to ask for help, and you have a lot of guys who say, you know, I work all day, I don't have the kind of job where I can take time off, and then I have other obligations when I get home, so when would I have time to go? So we try to get in the workplace, and, you know, we've worked with companies, for example, John Deere, Harley-Davidson, we've gone to NASA down in Houston, we've gone to Costco, we've gone to a lot of the federal agencies here in the D.C. area, and talk to guys. We do presentations. We also do health fairs and free screening events. And we're doing things like blood pressure, glucose, cholesterol, you know, sometimes screenings for prostate issues and other health issues, and just trying to get guys to be a little more educated and say, you know, look, you can take a little time out of your day to come and get this screening and sometimes find out something that they really need to take a look at. We also do a lot of work in the faith-based community to partner, for example, with churches who want to do community-based events that may be health screenings or health fairs, or working with a men's group that they have to talk about men's health generally, or to talk about particular topics like cancer, cardiovascular disease, prostate health, and other topics. And then we've also done a lot with sports teams, including particularly the NFL teams, also some work with NASCAR, the NBA, Major League Baseball. So, again, a place where guys feel comfortable, a place where we know a lot of men are already going to be anyway, and to get the message out to them that this is something that they need to pay attention to. And I think that that's one of the keys for us, is it's a little bit different the way that you interact with men and the way that you get a message out to men, maybe a little bit different from the way that you approach women. The motivation is a little bit different, and I think as much or even more so than with women, you have to go to a place where maybe healthcare isn't the first thing on his mind. Maybe you go into a place where, you know, you have a lot of trust built up with someone in your faith community or in your workplace, where the employer can say, hey, we're going to take time out to actually look at your health today because this matters to us and it should matter to you. Or if you're going to a sports event where people feel more relaxed, more at ease. So those are some of the things we do out in the community. And then we really have tried to put together a lot of great information for people to access online. And I'll tell you probably a chance later to tell you about some of the specific websites, but we have a lot of resources for people to go to get information, including our Men's Health Online Resource Center, our main website, menshealthnetwork.org, and others that have information on particular health issues. So those are a few examples of how we're trying to reach out to guys. But I would say, you know, the biggest thing that we do is to support at the community level people who want to do their own men's health awareness. And that's probably the most exciting piece for us, is to see just how much this has grown over the last 20-plus years in terms of everyone wanting to do something to bring attention to men's health issues.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And that is a perfect lead into our quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this awareness idea and why, you know, this particular month as a way to raise awareness for men's health. But just quickly, we have got to go to a break. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer, and today's show is sponsored in part by Lilly Oncology. Please join us when we return, when we will hear more from Brandon about the Men's Health Network.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotech, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotech and its parent company, Eisai, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
Cancer. It's a lonely word. Terms I don't understand. Choices I never thought I'd have to make. But there is hope and help.
Support from cancer survivors.
Links to research and clinical trials.
Help with finances and access to care.
All behind you, a breakaway from cancer, created by Amgen to empower cancer patients.
The cancer support community is proud to be a partner of Breakaway from Cancer.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The cancer support community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the cancer support community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355 or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope. You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. I am your guest host today, Linda House, filling in for Kim Tibaldo, the CEO of the Cancer Support Community. And I'm so happy today that we're talking about men's health. And joining me today is the Director of Strategic Initiatives of the Men's Health Network, really an organization driving a lot of awareness and education around men's health, Brandon Leonard. On this segment, we're going to discuss a number of things, including the state of men's health in America today. And Brandon, when we were when we left off at the last segment, we were talking about the important work that you were doing, and particularly one of the things you said you're excited about is the growth in the community and the work that you do to support communities in raising awareness. So can you start off by just telling us a little bit about Men's Health Month? How did it come about? What are the sort of things that you're doing with it? Who all is participating? Just give us an overview of that.
Sure. So this all started really with National Men's Health Week, which was passed by Congress and signed into law by President Clinton back in 1994. And this really set the stage. It was, you know, the first national awareness period for men's health. So it was very exciting and something that we've built on ever since then. So this year, celebrating the 21st anniversary of National Men's Health Week, and we continue to use the week to highlight the fact that, you know, our elected officials have recognized this period, and it's, you know, it's official. We decided many years ago that, you know, while the week, which is the week, always the week leading up to and including Father's Day, is an excellent opportunity to call attention to men's health and especially father's health, really there's so much to do that we could easily fill an entire month. And so we've been celebrating the entire month of June as Men's Health Month. And it's been a great opportunity to highlight some men's health issues, to make sure that men's health really is on the radar. And the most exciting thing that we've seen is just how much awareness has picked up during that time. And I think, you know, this radio show is a great example. It's, you know, really an honor to be on this program. And we've seen media opportunities just explode in recent years to talk about men's health during June. At the same time, we get hundreds and hundreds of requests just leading up to June and during the month of June for materials and ideas and tools from organizations and individuals around the country. And, you know, to give you some ideas, we have folks who are calling in from clinics that they're running. We have doctor's offices. We have faith-based groups, places of worship, fraternities, sororities, civic organizations. We have all kinds of workplaces and businesses. And really, all these groups are contacting us and saying, you know, in some cases, we haven't done anything for men's health before. We want to do something in our city. We want to do something in our community to raise awareness of men's health issues, but we haven't done it. And, you know, where can we go to get the tools to do this? So we have a lot of materials and resources on our website as well as in print that we can provide to people to help them with that, as well as a toolkit and suggestions for how to put together an event. And as I said, that's just grown exponentially in terms of the number of groups who are contacting us and saying they want to do something. Also, we're hearing from groups who are coming back and saying, we've been doing this for 10 years. And that's really exciting. That's really gratifying to hear that not only do people want to do something to, you know, to improve men's health, but obviously it must have been successful and there must still be a need for it because they've continued to do it for many years. And so that's very, very exciting for us. I think one of the other things that's exciting is to see what kind of support we are getting more and more from policymakers and from those who work at all different levels of government. To give you just a few examples, there's a Congressional Men's Health Caucus, and the session that's co-chaired by Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma and Congressman Donald Payne Jr. from New Jersey, and they've really been taking the lead on getting the message out on the Hill, as well as to the general public about the importance of men taking better care of their health. And we've also gotten some excellent support from partners throughout Health and Human Services, HHS, and that includes, you know, posting up pictures of their entire offices wearing blue during Men's Health Week. It includes, you know, writing blog posts and participating in social media events and activities and doing their own events to celebrate Men's Health Month. So it's really become quite a celebration, and it's become bigger and bigger every single year, and we're very excited about what that means for raising awareness of men's health issues.
So let's talk about some of the specific issues that you're currently dealing with. What are the biggest risks to men's health and why? And what are some of the things that you're trying to highlight and focus on?
Well, there are some issues that I think, you know, we may highlight at different times. There are plenty of awareness periods throughout the year to talk about different types of cancer, for example, to talk about heart disease, to talk about infectious diseases. And so we try to take advantage of those to raise awareness. But I would say that some of the big ones that are always kind of top of mind for us. First of all, heart disease, because it's the number one killer for both men and women. And we know that there are a lot of risk factors that you can certainly manage and stay on top of. And we think about heart disease, diabetes, many types of cancer, you know, things that you can do to prevent those, or certainly to manage them or to reduce your risk. And cancer in general, but, you know, particularly looking at issues like prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer, all of these continue to be big issues for men. And, you know, I think to put it in perspective, one of the big statistics is that one out of every two men and one out of every three women in their lifetime will be living with cancer. You know, and of course, many of them will not be diagnosed. Many of them will certainly not die of that cancer. But it kind of puts it in perspective just how huge the impact of cancer is. I think everyone has been impacted by cancer in some way, and probably remains one of the scariest diagnoses that anyone can get. So that continues to be a big issue that we work on. Another one is mental health. And we just had a Twitter chat on men and mental health. And this is something that is, when we think about some fairly common mental health issues, like depression, for example, men are very underdiagnosed for depression. We know that men are less likely, significantly less likely than women, to go and talk about issues that may be bothering them. And we also know that, you know, of course, men and women routinely deal with stress and anxiety for many reasons, but for some people these become really strong concerns and, you know, disruptive to their daily life. And that's the point where they really need to speak to someone about it. So we also know that men are dying at four times the rate of women from suicide. And I think that's also kind of a surprising statistic. For some people, women are actually more likely to attempt suicide, but men are much more likely to actually kill themselves. And we look at a lot of the underlying factors for that and understand that there's a tremendous need to do more on mental health in this country in general, but we know that we particularly need to really look at what are some of those underlying causes for men that's driving them to really serious mental health issues and then sometimes suicide. So there are many issues that I think we can work on. We try to keep all of these top of mind throughout the year, and it certainly means that we'll always be busy, but we think it's important that we focus on you know, a range of men's health issues.
Mm-hmm. And we've got about 2 minutes left before we go to break, but before we do, I'd love to have you touch a little bit on the role that families play in the health of their male loved ones.
Absolutely. The role of families is critical. And we know that the role of women in men's health is significant. And women are not always, but very, very often, the healthcare leaders in their families. And so they're often the ones who are, you know, making important decisions about, you know, nutrition, making important decisions about going to the doctor and encouraging the men and boys in their families to go to the doctor to get the care that they need. And so it's really crucial that women, as well as you know, other male family members, are there to support men and boys in their family who may be going through a health situation, or also encouraging to go and get the checkups and the preventive care that they need. It's so important to have a support system, and, you know, family and friends are really the core of that support system, and it's just, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to have members of the family who will encourage guys to take better care of themselves, to get educated, and to actually go in and speak to someone when they need to see a doctor.
Great. We are going to run to a quick commercial break. We will be back in just a few minutes. This episode is sponsored in part by Amgen Oncology and also Bristol-Myers Squibb. So please stay with us. And Brandon, when we come back, I'd love to have some more conversation about this particular topic, the disparities between men and women's health, and information around how support people can become engaged in men's health. So this is Frankly Speaking About Cancer, and we'll be right back after this break.
Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Magnolia Meals at Home, a new pilot program that aims to help patients by providing nourishing meals to households affected by breast cancer so loved ones can spend more quality time together. This program is currently available in and around two pilot cities, Andover, Massachusetts, and Woodcliffe Lake, New Jersey. Participants will receive one delivery of meals every month for up to 6 months when enrolled in the program. Each delivery includes up to 7 meals designed to help meet the nutritional needs of people living with breast cancer and 10 meals for family members. This novel program is brought to you by the AZI Women's Oncology Program, Magnolia, Cancer Care, the Cancer Support Community, and Meals on Wheels Association of America. To find out if you or loved ones are eligible, visit online at www.magnoliameals.com. Or call 617-733-5848.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotek, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotek and its parent company, AZI, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. I am your guest host today, Linda House, filling in for the CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Kim Tibaldo. And I am joined today by the Director of Strategic Initiatives of the Men's Health Network, Brandon Leonard. And we've been chatting a bit today about the importance of men's health and some of the challenges that men may have in getting access to care, and most importantly, some of the support and awareness initiatives that are in place to help them advance their health. So, Brandon, I would love for you first to inform our listeners of your website. Where can they go to get some of the information that you've shared with us today?
Our main website is menshealthnetwork.org. And you can find links to all of our resources on that page. But I can also point out a couple of other sites that I think would be helpful for folks. One of those is, since we're in June, there's a great site called menshealthmonth.org. And that's where you can find a lot of great information about doing your own men's health awareness activities. And it doesn't have to be just in June. It could be any time throughout the year. We also have a site called menshealthresourcecenter.com, and that has a lot of great information about broken down into particular health topics for men.
Great. And for our listeners, we will repeat those before the close of this show today. So if you need to grab a pencil to write with, please do so. And Brandon, I wanted to just quickly talk about prevention. And I want to move into the cancer space and the mental health space in just a second. But you know, talk to us about the difference that detection and early treatments really have for long-term outcomes for men and their families.
Well, this is so important, Linda, and this is really what we spend most of our time working on at Men's Health Network, is educating people about prevention and early detection, because it can literally mean the difference between life and death. We talk about preventable disease, and we're really looking at a whole host of issues that we've discussed a little bit: heart disease, many types of cancer, diabetes to a certain extent, certainly suicide. There are certainly many things that you can do to reduce your risk and manage your risk of having these diseases. And I think when it comes to early detection, you're really talking about the possibility, let's say with cancer, with many types of cancer, for example, of catching it early through a simple test, and then being able to discuss what the options are when there are many more options, and when the treatment is going to be less intensive, less difficult, less painful, less expensive, and the outcomes are going to be a lot more favorable. And so this is, you know, we can talk about, you know, heart disease as well, and, you know, people managing blood pressure and cholesterol levels. We can talk about, you know, managing blood glucose levels with, you know, diabetes or risk for diabetes. And really, the more that you can get on top of these in the beginning, it's going to be so much easier to manage. So we just encourage people to really at a young age, because we know there's really a gap for a lot of males in particular between the time they see a pediatrician to the time that they're going to the doctor as an adult. And for a lot of guys, they're not going to the doctor as an adult until something really goes wrong. And then they're coming in with a serious health condition. So we really want men and women to start thinking about what do you need to know about your health earlier on, and what kind of impact are things that are going on today going to have later on. You know, if we talk about risk factors like tobacco use, not getting enough exercise, certainly diet and nutrition, these play a significant role in a lot of different health issues. And so we want to make sure that people have the knowledge and the tools that they need to be proactive about their health ahead of time, because it really makes a tremendous difference.
So let's talk about a couple of the common cancers that I know you do some work with, prostate and colorectal cancer. I imagine you do some testicular cancer awareness as well. But can you talk about those and separate them however you would like, but just kind of talk to our listeners. So, you know, who is at risk for these type of cancers? What should our listeners be thinking of if they're in that risk bucket, and where can they go for resources?
Sure. Well, with prostate cancer and colorectal cancer, as with most cancers, risk really increases with age, first of all, but certainly family history can play a big role, and that's why we think it's so important, not just for these, but for most any disease, to understand your family history. And, you know, we have a quick and easy family tree that you can get on our website that just helps you go through, particularly for breast or prostate cancer, to see where in your family you may have, you know, something to look out for. And this is certainly something that you want to talk to your doctor about, you know, even at a routine visit. And with prostate cancer in particular, we suggest that guys around age 40, at least talk to their doctor about, you know, their personal risk, and to understand, you know, what makes sense for them individually in terms of screening. And for prostate cancer, in addition to the risk increasing with age, you also have the family history. African American men are at higher risk of prostate cancer. And then there are some environmental factors, and one of the ones that I think we know more about is Vietnam veterans who were exposed to Agent Orange, which can expose them to a higher risk for prostate cancer. With colorectal cancer, certainly I think you know, the guidelines, widespread guidelines, are to go ahead and start screening at age 50. For normal risk, but also to talk about earlier screening if you may be at higher risk. And again, that goes back to family history certainly being a factor, having had inflammatory bowel disease, which, you know, some of the most common ones would be ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, or, you know, there are certain other hereditary conditions that you may have that could put you at a higher risk of having colorectal cancer. So we encourage people to have those conversations with their doctors at least by those ages, you know, 40 for prostate cancer, 50 for colorectal cancer, but maybe even earlier if they're in a higher risk group.
Mm-hmm. And so when they do have those conversations with their healthcare team, what do those screenings look like? What should they expect?
So for prostate cancer, the two most common screenings right now, the two basic ones are, first of all, a digital rectal exam, which is, it sounds really unpleasant, but it's quick. You know, no one likes it, but it's quick, and it can actually help the doctor know if there might be something irregular with a prostate. He's just going to stick a gloved finger into the rectum and feel the prostate and see if there's anything abnormal on the prostate. The other test is a simple blood test. It's called the PSA, or prostate-specific antigen. And that's just going to tell if there's an elevated level, an abnormal level, then it's going to require some additional follow-up. Not necessarily going to be prostate cancer, but that's one of the conditions that, you know, it could be indicative of. It could also be an infection, it could be an enlarged prostate, but that's going to lead them to do some follow-up. For colorectal cancer, one of the common tests is to do a fecal occult blood test just to see if there's any blood in the stool. And then the other two most common tests would be a colonoscopy or a sigmoidoscopy, which are, you know, ways to get, a very thin device with a scope on it into the colon and see if there are any polyps or anything else irregular there. So, these are things that certainly the regularity that you would need to get them would depend on some of the factors that we mentioned earlier. And if there's something that looks abnormal, then even if you're not going to take action on it right then, it may be something that you need to follow up with a little more regularly with the doctor, just to make sure that you're staying on top of any issues. So these are tests that, no one looks forward to them, but again, when we talk about the importance of prevention and early detection, it's so much easier and so much less painful to deal with these tests and to find out early if something might be wrong than to have to deal with much more complicated procedures and treatments down the road. So it's absolutely worth it to go in and get these screenings.
Sure, thank you. And this is really an area where the family can help encourage their loved ones to go in for screening, yes?
Absolutely, yes. This is really critical because I think a lot of men and women are a little bit reluctant to go in and get these tests. And you know, even if you know around this age I should probably be getting this checked out, it's easy to say, you know, I'll do it next year, or I'll put it off a little bit longer. Everything seems okay, so I'm not going to get it checked out right now. But this is where family and other loved ones can really play an important role in encouraging a guy to make that appointment. If he feels more comfortable, then maybe even going to the appointment with him, kind of talking through questions or concerns that he might have. Maybe something that you kind of mark on the calendar for after, the 50th birthday. This is something that we're going to do. If you're going in for a checkup and this is part of it, then, maybe you make the appointment together with your partner or with your dad or your brother. And, you can go in and get a checkup too. I know that, for women, they need to get a colonoscopy or a colorectal cancer screening as well. So these are all things that you can do to kind of help support someone and encourage them to go and get the screenings that they need.
Mm-hmm. Great. And as we move to commercial break, I'm going to maybe make the suggestion that men get in the habit of dedicating this particular month, the month of June, to their health awareness and do all of their annual screenings and annual appointments in the month of June.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, they can mark their calendars. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer, and today's show is sponsored in part by Takeda Oncology. We will return right after this break for our final segment.
people living with breast cancer often find it difficult to ask for help, and many of the people in their lives want to help but don't know how. During National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Cancer Support Community is proud to support Meal Train, sponsored by Magnolia, which utilizes MealTrain.com, a free shared online calendar, to streamline the process of giving and receiving meals for families coping with breast cancer. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 new breast cancer-specific meal trains this October. To learn more, visit MealTrain.com/MMT and enter the code MAGNOLIAB. Or visit us at cancersupportcommunity.org.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotech, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotech and its parent company, Eisai, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. I am your guest host today, Linda House, filling in for Kim Tibaldo, the CEO of the Cancer Support Community. And today we are wrapping up our episode on men's health with Brandon Leonard. Brandon is the Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Men's Health Network. And Brandon, thank you for being here with us. You provided us with a lot of great information, so I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
And so we just finished talking about the importance of prevention and early detection. And so maybe we can walk through a little bit through some of the resources that are available to patients. We're hoping that patients heard messages from you about getting screened and participating in healthy behaviors and lifestyles, and families can participate. So, you know, if they really have some more questions and they want to dig deeper into resources, where can they go for further information?
Sure. Well, I can tell you about a couple of resources that we have at Men's Health Network and suggest a couple of others as well. We have our general website, which again is menshealthnetwork.org. We also have an online resource center with health information on a variety of topics, and that is menshealthresourcecenter.com. We have a quick and easy guide, a checklist for screenings and checkups for both men and women, and you can find that at getitchecked.com. And then I certainly would encourage folks to check out other useful resources that they can find on the Cancer Support Community website, as well as cancer.org, which is the American Cancer Society, and cancer.gov, which is the federal government site with more information about cancer.
Mm-hmm. And give a little bit of a feel for what type of resources people can find there. I think you mentioned your family tree resource. That sounds really interesting to me, if you wouldn't mind giving a little bit more information about that.
Sure. So the family tree is just a really simple tool. You can print it out. You can find it through our website. Probably the easiest way is just do a quick search there on the front page of the site. And it just helps you kind of lay out family members and trace back, you know, maybe through your grandfather or your uncle, you know, was there prostate cancer there? For men and women, you can also trace back, you know, breast cancer, and really you can take this sheet or a resource like this and use it for any disease or any issue. So I would say certainly, you know, when we're talking about colorectal cancer today, when we're talking about you know, heart disease or many other health issues, very useful tool to do something like this. And it's an important conversation to have with your family. And a lot of people don't like to talk about these things. And so they find out, you know, later that maybe their dad or their grandmother or someone had a serious health issue. And it would be really beneficial for them to know that when they're having conversations with their doctor. But the the Men's Health Network.org site has links to different educational campaigns that we're working on as well. We have a library that you can access from there that has a lot of articles. It has also all of our brochures on it. So if you just go to that library link, type in brochure, you'll find in the search option, you'll find all kinds of brochures on there that you can download as a PDF for free. You're welcome to print them out and use them. Or we also have, a link to our store there where you can order any of the materials that you might want for your own men's health awareness events.
And so in addition to, you know, downloading your information or visiting your website, what are some of the other specific actions that you would suggest men take to be proactive about their health?
Well, I think, first of all, understand your risk factors for different health issues and make an appointment to see your doctor and get a checkup if you haven't done that. And as you said, Linda, this is a great opportunity during June or, you know, even the week after to make that appointment, mark it on your calendar, take advantage of this opportunity to get in and take advantage of screenings that really could be life-saving for you. And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand that they do have access. You know, if you have insurance coverage, including insurance coverage through the Affordable Care Act, those plans all have preventive services on them. And even though there's not a men's health preventive services package, there are a number of screenings that are available, for men and women, as well as for certain populations based on risk factors. So, and those are at no charge. So if you have that coverage, I would certainly say, you know, to take advantage of that. If you don't have coverage, then certainly look for other options like community health centers and as well as community health screenings that may be happening through, you know, an organization like ours, through a local hospital or clinic as well. So that's one thing. And then I would just also put out there, if people would like to become more engaged in the work that we're doing and work around men's health, then I would encourage you to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter. So we're at Facebook Men's Health Network. Twitter, our handle is at Men's Health, that's HLTH Network, because you can't get all the letters in on Twitter. And certainly to visit our website, you can also email us at info@menshealthnetwork.org if you have any questions or would like more information.
Great, thank you. And one of the things I wanted to underscore in your comments is that if we have listeners who are concerned about the cost of their preventive services, you touched on the fact that there are regulations written into some of the insurance coverage plans that would require some level of preventive services. And then there are a number of community offerings that would help to fill in the gaps. And so we shouldn't have a caller or a listener who is thinking, I can't get this done because I can't afford it in today's environment. And so I'm going to just throw out our helpline number, which is 888-793-9355. And Brandon, if you'll just mention your website again, where people could get information if they would like to know about community resources.
Yes, that's menshealthnetwork.org. And we also have a site called menshealthmonth.org, which has information if people would like to share more educational resources.
Mm-hmm. And learn more about community resources that could provide screening and preventive services free of charge. So those are great resources for our listeners to have. We have exactly 1 minute left in the show, so I'm going to ask you in 30 seconds, what's the one thing that you would like listeners to take away from today's show?
Well, if I could say one thing, and it may be a compound thing, but I would say for guys to recognize that your health is important. And it matters, and it should matter to you. We want guys to live long and healthy lives, but it also matters to everyone who cares about you and everyone who depends on you. And so, you know, we just encourage you to take those steps to be the healthiest man that you can be. And we talked a little bit about screening. That's very important. I think, you know, getting on the right track with diet and exercise, you know, cutting out tobacco, and just recognizing those often simple things that you can do. You just have to start today. And that's what I would encourage all the guys out there to do. And happy Men's Health Month.
Great. Start today and mark your calendar for June of 2016 to repeat. So, Brandon,
right.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for the information about Men's Health Awareness Month and Men's Health Network. I would ask our listeners to please visit menshealthnetwork.org for a number of resources that Brandon has mentioned on this particular show. If you have an episode, if you have an idea for an episode of Frankly Speaking About Cancer, we invite you to submit those topics to us. You can send your suggestions to news@cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community provides a multitude of in-person, online, and over-the-phone support. If you or someone you know is facing or has faced a cancer diagnosis, you do not have to do it alone. For more information about our programs, please visit us at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. You can find a location near you, or you can also call our toll-free cancer support helpline, and that number is 888-793-9355. And there you'll have the ability to speak with a licensed mental health professional Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Until next time, be well, do well, live well.
Thank you for joining us for Frankly Speaking About Cancer with your host, Kim Tibaldo. We're here for you every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. In the meantime, stay connected online at cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.